Good morning and a very warm welcome to our worship here in Forth this morning. And it's lovely to be here on such a special and lovely occasion. I feel like all I do here is come out here for funerals, so it's lovely to be coming and sharing in a wonderful celebration of the sacrament of baptism for Archer Jack George Perry. It's lovely to be here and joining in worship with you, and we welcome all members of Archer's friends and family that are here to support him today. He's got the cutest smile ever. Anyway, I bring you warmest greetings and best wishes from all at St Nicholas back in Lanark, and they send their good wishes to everyone. Obviously you've had a chance to see all the announcements and notices on the screen. So we begin our service by joining together as we sing together our first hymn, hymn number 172, Sing for God's Glory Across the Sky, hymn number 172. Let us still our hearts now and join before God together in prayer. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we gather here to meet you, to rejoice in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and to seek your nourishment from your Holy Spirit, that we may go from here to tend your sheep. Lord Jesus Christ, when we forget that you are alive, When we act as though you cannot speak for yourself, forgive us, we pray. When we're slow to ask for your advice and to look for your guidance. When we think we know best and forge ahead regardless, because we are sure we know your mind, again, please forgive us. Remind us in firm but gentle ways of how close and active you are. You who are the ever-living Lord of creation. Lord Jesus, set God's Spirit free to move among us here and now. We pray that you would give us the courage to let that Spirit renew and inspire us, as through your word, your people and your world. You speak to us of hope and faith and love. And you challenge us to live lives that are faithful to your cause of justice and peace. Hear us now as together with all your people, we pray the words that you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus called for the little children and said, Let the children come to me. Do not try to stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will never enter into it. And Christ is present right now with us in this sacrament. For it is he himself who baptizes us, and by the Spirit of Pentecost, he brings us into his church. Baptism is the sign of rising to a new life in Christ. By water and the Holy Spirit, God claims us as his own, sets us free from the power of death. Here we know that we are made one with Christ. Members of his body, called to share in his ministry in the world. And today in this sacrament, the love of God is offered to each one of us. And though we cannot understand it or explain it, we are called simply to accept that love with the openness and trust of a child. In baptism, Archer is assured of the love that God has for him, and the sign and seal of the Holy Spirit is placed upon him. So let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. We thank you, gracious God, for your gifts of water and the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, you moved over the waters and brought light and life to a formless wasteland. By the waters of the flood, you cleansed the world and made a new beginning for all people. In the time of Moses, you led your people out of slavery through the waters of the sea, making a new covenant with them in a new land. At the appointed time in the waters of the River Jordan, when Jesus was baptized by John, you sent your Holy Spirit upon him, and now by the baptism of his death and resurrection, Christ sets us free and opens up the way to eternal life. Send down your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this water, that Archer, buried with Christ in baptism, may rise with him to newness of life, and being born anew of water and the Holy Spirit, may remain forever in the number of your faithful children, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all glory and honour, now and forever. Amen. So can I ask Archer and his mum and dad, Jack and Emma, and his godparents, Harry and Sarah, to please come and gather round the font. Hello. Hello. So Archer, you belong to God in Christ, and from this day, there'll always be a home for you here in this very place, in this Christian community. When Archer grows up, tell him of today. Tell him of the treasures that he has been given today, so that he may know that he is baptized as he grows up, and in time make his own response in faith and love, and come in due time to share in the communion of the body and blood of Christ. So do you, as Archer's family, do you promise, depending on the grace of God, to teach Archer the truths and duties of the Christian faith, and by prayer and example, bring him up in the life and worship of the church? We do. So you who are gathered here in this place, you represent the whole church, and word and sacrament bring you the joy of Christ's presence in your midst. As Christ's people in this place, do you welcome today Archer, and do you renew your commitment with God's help to live before all God's children in a kindly and Christian way? Correct answer. You've done this before. So now comes the bit you might not like, Archer. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. So, Archer, for you, Jesus Christ came into the world. For you, he lived and showed God's love. For you, he suffered the darkness of the cross and cried at last, "It is accomplished." For you, he triumphed over death and rose to newness of life. For you, he ascended to reign at God's right hand. And all this he did for you, Archer. And though you don't know it yet, you are most loved by God, because he loved us first. So Archer, Jack, George, Perry, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and dwell in your hearts forever. And you're falling out of my arms. You are a bit of a wriggler. We're now going to stand together to sing the words of "The Lord bless you and keep you." Let us stand together. It's fine. The very enthralled with you all, I have to say. So who would like to take him back? Mummy. There we go. I'll just let you go and take your seat. And if everyone can please be seated. So that is a copy of Archer's baptismal certificate, his cradle roll certificate, and here is a candle. Now, we all know about birthday candles, don't we? That we light them on our birthday and then blow them out. Well, this inside there is a special candle that can be lit on the 1st of May every year that Archer can blow out just to remind him of this special day. And I've got a certificate for godparents, so for Sarah and for Harry. There we go. So let us join once more together in prayer. Let us pray. God of love, we rejoice again to receive your grace in word and sacrament. We have heard your call and are made new by your Spirit. Guide and guard Archer all his days. May your love hold him, your truth guide him, your joy delight him. Bless his parents, Jack and Emma, and his godparents, Harry and Sarah. May he grow up in a secure and happy home. Give to all his family and loved ones wisdom and courage, laughter and peace, and the love that endures all things. God of grace, in whose church there is one Lord, one faith and one baptism, help us to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to profess us with our whole lives the one true faith, and to live in love and unity through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns forever. Amen. So we're now going to sing a song that Jack and Emma have chosen for us to sing today in honour of Archer's baptism. And it is one by Dan and Shay called When I Pray for You.
Talk to God about you. I ain't even met you yet. Everybody's waiting on you here. I can't wait to feel your heartbeat when I lay you on my chest. I'm already holding back my tears. I wanna be the dad that my dad was. I hope that I mess this whole thing up. I pray you love like your mama, and you forgive just like she does. And when this love knocks you down, I hope you get down on your knees, 'cause that's what I do. That's what I do when I pray. Gonna grow up someday, but don't forget to take your time and take the time to call back home. It ain't always gonna be easy, it ain't always gonna be fair. I know you ain't always gonna need me, but I promise that I'll always be there. I pray you love like your mama, and you forgive just like she does. And when this love knocks you down, I hope you get down on your knees, 'cause that's what I do. That's what I do when I pray for you. Oh, oh, when I pray for you. I talk to God about you when everything around me breaks. I look up and hear him say, love like your mama, and forgive just like she does. And when this love knocks you down, I hope you get down on your knees, 'cause that's what I do. That's what I do when I pray for you. When I pray for you. When I pray for you.
First reading this morning comes from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. And our second reading this morning is from John chapter 21, verses 1 to 19. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread and gave thanks. And did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Jesus reinstates Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Amen.
Thanks, Jim. Join once more together to sing hymn 550, As the Deer Pants for the Water, hymn number 550. Thank you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What have the past 2 weeks been like for you? Have you seen and experienced resurrection in your life? And if so, what does it look like? Here's why I'm asking. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the day of Jesus' resurrection. 2 weeks ago, the stone was rolled away, the tomb was found to be empty, and Jesus was seen alive. And here's my question. Are you more alive now than you were 2 weeks ago? Am I? What difference has the resurrection made in us? I'm not asking about what difference it might make in some distant heavenly future. I am asking about our lives today, right here and right now. I sometimes wonder if we make such a big deal about the resurrection that it's difficult to recognize it in our own lives. I wonder if we make such a big deal about the rolled away stone, such a big deal about the empty tomb, and such a big deal about Jesus being alive that we lose sight of the resurrection in our own lives. We look for and expect it to be an equally big deal kind of thing in our lives. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's why it's sometimes difficult to recognize resurrection in our lives here and now. John begins the gospel that we heard today by telling us that Jesus showed himself in this way. John then sets the third appearance of Jesus to his disciples amidst ordinary circumstances. He returns the disciples to their old routines. He gives a lot of small, seemingly unnecessary and even strange details. John could easily have said, while the disciples were fishing, they saw Jesus on the shore. This was his third appearance. But he didn't. Instead, John focuses on the details in which Jesus showed himself. So maybe we should focus on those details as well. It starts with the phrase, "I'm going fishing." The disciples have returned home. They've gone back to fishing. They've moved from the empty tomb to their boats. From the house in Jerusalem to the familiar waters of the Sea of Tiberias. They've travelled some 70 or 80 miles from the place of Jesus' resurrection and giving themselves to their old routine of fishing. They've returned to the same boats, the same nets, the same water, the same work. That's when and where Jesus showed himself. It's now 2 weeks after Easter Sunday, and I'm betting that we've all returned to the same routines of our lives. But you see, that's when and where we can expect Jesus to show himself to us. Resurrection does not happen apart from the routines of life, but in them. Resurrection is not about escaping life, but about becoming alive. So the disciples are fishing, but they have empty nets. They fish through the darkness, but their nets were empty. That night they caught nothing. But the darkness, however, was not just about the time of day and the night sky. The darkness was also in the disciples. In the same way, the empty net is not only descriptive of their fishing attempts, but it's descriptive about the disciples themselves. They are as empty as their nets. And who here hasn't experienced that darkness and emptiness? You know what it's like. You fish. You work, you do your best, but you still feel empty. In those times, we have come to the limits of our own self-sufficiency. We have nothing to show for our efforts, nothing left to give. We're empty. And that's when Jesus, still unrecognized by the disciples, shows himself and says, "Friends, have you no fish?" Now that's not so much as a question, but a statement. And within Jesus' words, I hear the echo of Mary's voice at the wedding in Cana, when she said to Jesus, "They have no wine." Empty nets, empty jars, no wine, no fish, no life. That's when Jesus showed himself. Nets and jars cannot be filled unless they are first emptied. In the same way, we can never be filled with Jesus until we are first emptied. Until we have emptied ourselves, until we come to recognize the limits of our own self-sufficiency. The emptiness is not the end or a failure, but it is instead a beginning. The miracle begins when the wine runs out, and Jesus shows up when the nets are empty. So let me ask, what are you empty nets today? What wine jars have run dry? Don't throw the jars away, and don't abandon your nets. They are the very places in which Jesus is showing himself to you. They will be places of resurrection, jars overflowing with the best wine and nets filled with large fish, 153 of them, wine to gladden your heart and fish to nourish your life. So the disciples have fished during the night, and they reach dawn, they reach daybreak. And did you notice that all of this happens just after daybreak? The dark night of fishing has given way to the dawn of a new day, new hopes and new possibilities. The darkness does not win. The light always prevails. In the light of this new day, in the light of a full net, in the light of 153 fish, Jesus shows himself. It is the Lord. This isn't just about the rising of the sun, but it's about the rising of the sun, Jesus Christ, in the darkness of the disciples' lives and in the darkness of our own lives. So whatever darkness has overcome you, whatever darkness you might be going through today, that darkness is the circumstances in which Jesus will show himself to you. It is the context for your own resurrection and the raw material from which your new life will be fashioned. And what do the disciples see when they look to the shore? They see a charcoal fire, a fire burning. And I wonder what Peter thought when he got ashore and saw a charcoal fire. I wonder if he gazed into the flames, lost himself and the past, and remembered that other charcoal fire, the one by which he warmed himself and denied Jesus. I wondered if Peter heard the cockerel crow its exclamation point to his three denials of Jesus, its exclamation point to his guilt. And I wonder if he was overcome with regret. I wondered if he was afraid. I wondered if he relived that night thinking, "If only." I only wonder these things because that's often what I have done with my guilt, with my regrets, and with my betrayals. Maybe you have too. Maybe you know exactly what I'm talking about. Whatever Peter might have been thinking or feeling, and whatever guilt was growing in his memory, they were interrupted, banished and silenced by Jesus showing himself and saying, "Come and have breakfast." Jesus shows himself to us in the charcoal fires of our guilt, our regrets and our betrayals. Those fires, however, have been extinguished and a new fire kindled. That's true for Peter and it's true for us as well. The bread of life himself has prepared a place for us at his table. The Last Supper has become the first breakfast, and the charcoal fire of denial has become the charcoal fire of welcome and invitation. What looked like endings have become new beginnings. And so the disciples have breakfast. And for most of us, shared meals also mean shared conversations. And so it does for Peter and Jesus. And it was a conversation about love, freedom and moving forward. "Do you love me?" Jesus asks Peter. Not once, but three times. One question for each of Peter's denial. Three times Peter gives the same answer. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And I think he did. I think Jesus knew that Peter loved him. That Peter needed to know that he was loved and to know that he loved Jesus. Peter needed to understand that he was not bound to or identified by his past. How many of us also need to hear, understand and experience that again and again, as if for the very first time? That's another detail or circumstance of our lives in which Jesus is showing himself. With each question and answer, Jesus drew Peter from his past and freed him to become himself and to be more fully alive. And isn't that really about what today's gospel is about? It's the same story being told through the many different details and circumstances of our lives. Jesus showed himself in the empty nets that were filled with large fish. The darkness that gave way to light. A charcoal fire of denial that became a fire of welcome and invitation. A Last Supper that became a first breakfast. And three denials that were forgiven with three affirmations of love. See, resurrection is in the details. That's true in the gospel that we heard from John, and it's true in our own lives. The gospel details are our life's details. It's as if John has given us a paper with a bunch of dots on it, each one a particular detail or circumstance, and now our work is to connect the dots with the lines of our lives. And when we do that, we discover resurrection. We discover that we have a future. Our life has been guaranteed by Christ's life, and he has shown himself to us. Amen, and thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we give thanks for the resurrection, for the rising of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us in the challenges that we face in our daily lives and the challenges found in our world, that we may hold fast to the good news that Jesus is alive and he is with us now, and his Holy Spirit breathes life and renews our own life, putting breath and life back into our dry bones once more. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. We join together to sing hymn 532, Lord, You Have Come to the Seashore, hymn number 532. Means for us in our own lives. Let us take time and space to reflect and to pray that resurrection can be seen around our world, a world which right now cries out for resurrection, cries out for newness of life, and most importantly, cries out for love. So let us join our hearts in prayer as we pray for our world. Let us pray. Eternal and generous God, Thank you for your many gifts to us, not least the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who in turn gave his own life for the life of the world. Help us, we pray, to live as generously, ready to offer time, energy, and all we have and are for your kingdom's sake. Lord Jesus Christ, risen to life forever, thank you for continuing to entrust us with your good news. Thank you for continuing to stand by us, even when we let you down. And thank you for never faltering in your care for us and your love for us, even when we hurt and betray you. May we in turn stand by you, care for you, love you, and above all, may we work with you in feeding your people. Give us, we pray, the courage as individuals and as communities of your people, the courage to listen for your voice, the courage to pick up the nets of old habits, to follow you to different waters. And when we fear where that might lead us, when we hesitate, pulled by the safe and familiar, reassure us of being held in your arms and embolden us simply to follow. Ever with us, Lord, we bring to you a world that you care for deeply. Into those places where violence is rife, we pray that you would bring your peace. In those places where hatred and suspicion grow, encourage understanding, we pray. We pray especially today for Ukraine and for the conflict between Ukraine and Russia. May you still the hearts of those who hate. May they instead be filled with love, respect, and understanding. Where poverty and disease make life miserable for people, don't let us turn away. Instead, help us to be your hands, your heart, your feet, and your voice. We pray for the planet. Loving God, we give you heartfelt thanks for its beauty, its life and power and majesty. A thing so great and yet so vulnerable. We rejoice in seas, mountains, lakes, fields, beaches and gardens. All of them gifts from you to be enjoyed and cared for. Help us to make sure we do just that. May we thank the Creator of all creation and know and value our own part in it. Finally, O God, we pray for children. We pray for families, especially on this day as we give thanks for the baptism of Archer. We pray for him and his family and for all children across our globe and closer to home. May all children know joy and happiness. May they all feel loved and wanted. Loving God, we remember those dear to us who are struggling this day, who feel lost, alone, and afraid. And we lift to you the prayers of our hearts in the silence. All these prayers we offer in the name of Jesus, the living God who sees so much more than we could ever think or know, and who chooses to invite us to join in the divine mission to bring love, life, and light to this world. Amen. We bring our service to a close now as we sing together our final hymn, hymn number 458, At the Name of Jesus. Hymn number 458. peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. Go now in the strength, love, and hope of God. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon each one of you this day and be with you forevermore.